Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two on Fesco and Dusty with JT Noah with us today, as well as Matt continues to travel back from Spain. He'll be back on Thursday. JT with us today and tomorrow. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan on a Tuesday. Don't forget, you can check us out on the live stream on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, all the above. You can see our beautiful faces as we bring you this show on a Tuesday. Someone who is not here on a Tuesday is Brian Daboll, as he was fired yesterday. Monday morning dump around, 10:30 yesterday morning. Brian Daboll was told he is no longer the head coach of the New York Giants. A lot goes into that record-wise, but when you really look at it, it was the play calling and the situation that he had been putting his quarterback in. The fact that they had also had all those defensive drafts and have one of the worst defenses in the league, you add all that together, plus the temper tantrums on the sideline, it's just time to see your way out, is what they told Brian Daboll. But, of course, what happens with that is the first name that comes up to everybody's discussion board is, will Steve Spagnuolo come back to the Giants and be the head coach?
I mean, you want to talk about the low-hanging fruit, Dusty. I mean, it is the lowest of low-hanging fruits out there. And then, look, that's what we do with coaching searches, right? You look at the odds of who has the favorite to get every job. Matt Nagy has the best odds to get the Tennessee Titan job. The reason why? Because that Borgonzi guy is down there in Tennessee, right? People start to make these lazy, and they are lazy, connections between, oh, he knows this guy or he knows that guy. Doesn't mean he's the best guy for the job. I lived through a Steve Spagnuolo head coaching tenure when I was working over in St. Louis, and it was not good from any stretch of the means. Now, were the Rams good as an organization? Hell no. But I mean, some of the stuff that Steve Spagnuolo was coming in and trying to do, you're like, yeah, this isn't going to work here. This is the NFL. And so he's not the right guy for the Giants job. He's not the right guy for any job. He's in the perfect job that he has right now. And that's at 65 years old, finishing off your career as the defensive coordinator here in Kansas City. And you have to ask yourself, too, at 65, why would you want to go deal with that headache when you got like a year or two left here, however many long years left here, and you're on a championship caliber team? Every year you have an opportunity to win a championship, and you're not carrying the weight of an organization on your shoulders. Steve Spagnuolo has been there. He has done that as the head football coach. Some guys just aren't cut out to be head football coaches or managers in baseball. They're cut out to be great defensive coordinators or great offensive coordinators. And Steve Spagnuolo has found his lane here in Kansas City. I would be stunned if Steve Spagnuolo has another job after here coaching in Kansas City. I would be stunned if he doesn't use this as his last job and then retire, is what I'm saying, from the NFL. And people think like Spags is young. He's only 2 years younger than Andy Reid. He's 65. Andy Reid is 67. And, you know, at that point in your life, when you have all these accomplishments, there's no reason to go be that head football coach right now. So I would not think about Steve Spagnuolo at all being the head football coach of the Giants.
Yeah, I think if you take like what you want to see happen, I think we all are kind of wanting to see Lane Kiffin get that opportunity to take that job. I'm sure his name will be thrown into the punch bowl, mm-hmm. whether he takes that job from Ole Miss to New York, obviously be reunited with his quarterback in college. And the GM, like JT had mentioned, like you had mentioned, you know, in hot water because you didn't want Dart. You stuck with Daboll. You did the whole thing with Daniel Jones. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, you have your quarterback. You don't have your head coach. You've got your defensive players. You don't have a defense. Obviously a tough year with them, with losing Malik Nabers and losing Cam Scataboo in the same year to catastrophic injuries. But again, this is one of those things where, you know, there's sometimes, like you had mentioned, where coordinators are just better in that lane. Mm-hmm. I think Spags is that way. I think you could say the same about Daboll's maybe that way.
Maybe.
I think you could say the same thing about Josh McDaniels is that
Clearly,
way.
Clearly, like, that's a great example.
Like, yep. Josh McDaniels tried twice to be a head coach. It did not work, mm-hmm. but he's a great coordinator.
Great coordinator.
Whether you want to hate him or not, it's and again, you could be like, well, he had Tom
Why
Brady.
Did we hate him again? Because of Deflategate and all that kind of stuff? Or the kind of Patriot
like a,
thing?
He just kind of a Richard. Like, he didn't know what he was doing. He got the job in Vegas, and it was complete catastrophic failure. He got the job in New England. England after Belichick, or not after Denver, and won a playoff game with Tebow. He kind of went above and beyond in the draft. So I'm going to take Tebow. He also drafted the young man who passed away early.
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas.
Yep. And we remember his highlight, which was the cross pattern against Pittsburgh that Tebow threw to Demaryius Thomas. He took to the house and won a playoff game. And you're like, okay, Josh McDaniels might be doing something. And then it just kind of fizzled out. But we've seen what he's done to develop Drake May. And we talk about this Jackson Dart situation in New York. And it may not necessarily be quarterback problems in the NFL. It might be a way to get quarterbacks prepared in the NFL.
It's a coaching problem in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's the fact that these coaches can't develop these quarterbacks, and I don't know if it's because they're out of touch, if they're just too stubborn, if it's a lot of both. But again, you look at Jackson Dart. He's played, what, 6 games? He's been in concussion conversations four times.
Yeah.
The fact that they're running design run plays, even though they know he's damaged and he's hurt, you got to try to protect your future. You got to protect the talent,
right,
as Ben Heisler roomed covering a Royals game or whatever it may have been. And that's something that Daboll wasn't doing. He was playing reckless. He was letting his emotions show clearly on the sideline. That's not a guy that you can have, right, that can man the ship there. And I think one thing that they're going to do is try to find somebody that they can bring in that's either got ties or can handle New York. And that's the tough situation in New York. And I think with Spags, his name's always going to be out there. Well, what'd he do? No, it's the same sort of analogy where it's like, well, maybe Bill Cowher would come back.
No.
Yeah, that Sunday afternoon desk is really nice and heated and air-controlled rooms.
And you have no expectations.
And you don't have to go change somebody's track on a trajectory of, will they be good again? Will they not be good again?
Right.
And I think Spags and Andy are going to do this thing until they don't want to do it anymore, and they're going to walk out together.
I think you're right about that. And I do feel that way.
That's just how I see the thing. Yeah. That's how I see what they've developed here since they've been together. And it's not going anywhere anytime soon, I don't believe. I think Andy could coach until he's 70. That's 3 more years. Spags could coach until he's, 68, 69, 70 as well. But I think it's one of those things where, they are the tandem bicycle. They pedal at the same pace. They know each other's ways. They know when one's going to take off, the other one's going to, keep going. And they're going to use that to keep continuing their career in coaching. So I don't think Spags is the guy. I do think they're going to give Kafka a shot. I think that's what they're going to do. He's been there since 21, been their coordinator. Now he's their interim coach. We'll see if it works out. Can he handle New York media? Can he handle the pressure of being a head coach? We'll find out. He's got 6 games to prove it. But again, it's going to be one of the most sought after jobs in the NFL because of the quarterback, because of the talent that is on that roster, and because of it being in New York.
Yeah, no, it's going to be the most coveted job this offseason is what Schefter said. And he's absolutely right about that because of New York, because of the quarterback and the opportunity to kind of turn things around there. But, you were talking about, why these quarterbacks aren't being developed. And I think a lot of it is that these owners in the NFL right now are total idiots when it comes to hiring head football coaches. And look, I've been on this for 10 years plus now about the coaches that they hire in the NFL. They hire these folks in the NFL that don't have the proper experience yet. We got away. We've allowed the nerds and the semi-pro football out of focuses to dictate these coaching hires more than they need to be. And everybody panics and thinks, oh, I got to have the next offensive coordinator that worked with this guy or the next offensive coordinator that worked with that guy. And then you realize that guy's only 30 some years old and he doesn't have enough experience to run an NFL team. Because when you're the head coach of an organization, you're the leader of that organization, and you get up there in front of those players and they can see right away if you know what you're doing. And these players will let you know right away if they're buying in or not buying in. And I just think the coaching hiring in the NFL for the last 10 years has been totally abysmal, and guys are swinging and missing. And excuse me, that's why we're seeing a lot of these quarterbacks, Dusty, fail at the NFL, because they're not being put into good situations. They're not being, raised with good head coaches and good development in this league. And these owners are trying to hire the next great play caller out there, allegedly, as opposed to going out and hiring the true veteran head football coach that knows what he's doing. And that's why I would totally pass on Mike Kafka right now. I don't think the Giants are built as an organization, or where they are as an organization, to hire a guy who's never done it before. They've done that so many times now. They've got to go out there and they've got to hit a home run. They've got to go out there and they've got to find that veteran head coach, whether it be by trade, whether it be somebody gets fired that we're not expecting that's out there. I think where the Giants are right now, they cannot afford to go down the streets of hiring a guy who's never done it before. They need to go out there and, like you said earlier, do the Dick Vermeil move that the Kansas City Chiefs did 20-some years ago.
Somebody in the text line's in your same lane. They said from the 816, John Gruden to the Giants. I don't know if Gruden ever coached again.
Well, again, that goes back to your Cowher point.
Yeah.
Why would John Gruden want to coach again in the NFL when he's sitting there getting free swag and having fun at Barstool, yeah. You know?
I think he's actually different than Cowher, whereas Cowher, I think, was a little bit older and had, you know, was over it. Whereas, like, I don't know if Gruden's ever going to be done with it. It's like Binkley. Like, I don't know if Binkley's ever not going to watch football until he can't.
Right.
I think Gruden will always want that opportunity because I think he just eats, lives, breathes, and craps.
He's also suing the league.
Is he still doing that? That's still ongoing? Okay, well, that's interesting. Coming up on the other side, Andy Reid spoke yesterday about the running back situation, and JT comes back with one word as well at 7:30 here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in on 96.5 The Fan on a Tuesday. Sun starting to show itself. Should be a decent day outside. A little 60-degree day.
Yeah, you playing golf today?
No, not till Saturday. Too cold? Not till Saturday. Saturday, going to play at 7:50 in the morning.
Perfect. You'll be done by the time the sun sets.
Yep. I'll be done in time to go home, grab some lunch, and then go to Diddy Matthews' wedding.
That's right. So, can't excited wait about that.
Should
that
be
one.
Interesting. I don't know why I'm there. The most out-of-pocket person to be at this wedding, but here we are.
Yeah, but you got to embrace it.
Well, we'll see. Yeah.
Well, actually, I told him the guest list. I'm like, you kind of got to behave yourself at this
wedding. Oh, yeah,
Yeah, it's one of those two-drink limits.
Hey,
Sherman. Let me give you some advice.
Hey, John. The fact that you're moving to Kansas, man, let me tell you. Yeah. I don't like that.
Okay, Dusty's going to have to leave.
Why would you not bring in Ohtani? Come on. Yeah. Right, I was talking to a buddy of mine this weekend. Was my birthday. I go, this is one
it
of the
was?
Coolest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old are you?
25.
There you go. Nice. Big. Now you can rent a car and not have to pay the surcharge.
So my mom told me that. I was like, there's no way that's possible. Like, I thought I could rent a car.
You could, but you'd have to pay a surcharge. Because when I first started at KMBZ back in 01, 02, 03, they actually used to send us on the road for things. And I was like, I'm not 25 yet. And I had to pay these surcharges to rent a car. Thanks, Intercom.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, but me and my buddy, we have the same birthday, and we're like, this is one of the coldest birthdays we've had in a while. And it was like, it all the way just came out of nowhere because it was so beautiful last week, and then all of a sudden it got super cold.
It was
cold.
Like 2 days of brutal, and yeah. Like, so you missed winter. You're like, when Mac comes back, you miss winter. We're back in spring.
Exactly.
Or whatever kind of season this is. But, you know, congratulations to you. Happy birthday, 25 years old. Go rent yourself a car, man. Save some money. Big day.
There you go.
Yeah, big day. So no golf today. Too windy, too cold, or just don't feel like it?
Yeah, no golf today. Saturday, 7:50 tee time, because you get to avoid all the weekend warriors.
Yeah.
I got to think there's only going to be two, maybe three tee times ahead of us. So should play at a pretty pretty easy, fast pace, hopefully.
Wouldn't you rather play on a day like this, though? Like, and this is because I don't know the answer to this question. Like, you go out there and play in bad conditions. Doesn't that make you better as a golfer?
Negative.
No, it does. It doesn't? Okay.
Yeah, the wind today is a factor. Yeah, bad conditions. I mean, I don't know. It lessens your expectations, but
like
also,
playing through them and figuring things out, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I mean, it's not ideal. Like, obviously, living in Missouri, you have the four seasons, so you have like everybody has their different favorite season of golf. Like, some people are like, I love early spring because I'm back out into it. Yep. I hate early spring golf. I think
Why?
It's overrated.
Wet.
It's cold. It's windy. It's at times it's wet. It's not like, and everybody's back. So it's overly crowded. And you're just like, oh, this sucks, dude.
Cart path only.
I am weird. I love like middle of the summer golf.
Oh, I would.
I love when
it's hot.
The ball flies further. You get more true distance on your actual clubs as if you actually, you know, give a rip about golf. You're not just one of those guys like, I got the beer and the weed and we're ready to go, man. It's like, okay, that's fine. You want to have that guy on your team all the time. But more so like just the dueling hot, There's no issue with cart path only. There's nothing. It's going to be warm, but it's going to be worth it.
But also you're playing in dirt and dust and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and then fall golf is fun to me, minus the leaves. I mean, that's the only issue is that you have the leaf issue and the time of the day is shorter, so you can't go out and tee off at, you know, middle of summer. I can go tee off at 4 o'clock, and I'm done by 7:30, and it's, you know, full 18. Whereas I played last Saturday, I teed off at 1 o'clock. We didn't get 18 in.
That's insane. That is crazy to me. Yeah, that's. I mean, when we leave here, you know, usually around 11 or so, it's like we got 3 hours of daylight. Go make the most of it.
Pretty much, it goes down quick. Mm-hmm. But this was Andy Reid yesterday on the running back situation, and one Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, so we really like Elijah. Obviously, or he wouldn't be here, but I think that makes a big statement there. But Clyde is, you know, he knows all the protections. He knows all that. Not only does he know it, but he's done it. And so we've seen him do it. So there's a comfort. There was a comfort there. Not that Elijah doesn't. He's a very sharp kid. So, but we just, you know, we've seen, you know, our guy do it.
I mean, I don't think Elijah Mitchell's going anywhere other than the practice squad. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if Isaiah Pacheco, who was told yesterday the knee is still kind of an issue, we'll see how the week plays out. But that was Andy Reid kind of giving some information that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be their guy, whether you like it or not.
That's exactly right. And he's the head coach. And you know what? Andy Reid has earned the benefit of the doubt here in Kansas City. And if he says, you know, Dusty's going to be the running back this weekend, you got to think, all right, he must know something. I mean, obviously, tells me that Clyde can block. And that's where I was getting to on that, because that's what I have in my notes. Mitchell can't block. When you hear this stuff, and obviously Andy's being very nice about it, because last week, or the week before, there were some complaints from, I think, people in Elijah Mitchell's family about why he wasn't playing and all that kind of stuff and whatnot. I don't know that Andy Reid is going to turn that into Roma Doomsday and all of a sudden, you know, give Elijah Mitchell, you know, some looks and some work and all of that kind of stuff. But I think Andy Reid pretty much just spelled it out right there for you. And as we've known in 13 years with this guy being the head football coach, if you're a running back and you don't block, you ain't seeing the field. And that's just the way that it goes. And he kind of said, well, I mean, you know, Elijah's a smart kid and all that kind of stuff, and you know, you read between the lines as well as anybody, right? And so I heard that, I'm just like, okay, Elijah Mitchell's not figuring out the blocking side of things, and until he does, Elijah Mitchell's going to be on the field on the sidelines, because that's the number one thing that running backs have to do in this offense, according to Andy Reid. It may not be what you want, may not be what I want, next guy wants, but the head football coach says the number one thing that you need to do as a running back is block, and if you're not going to do that, your ass is on the bench.
Our guy is how he ended
our guy with Clyde. I mean, and I like the support that the Chiefs have shown Clyde Edwards-Helaire as well. I know people are like, this is what's the word that I'm looking for? A rock bottom business and whatnot. If you don't produce, you're out and all that kind of stuff. And really, Clyde hasn't done a whole heck of a lot. Clyde's been through a lot in his life. This organization has kind of come along Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And there is something to be said positive for that, as the organization is doing with him.
Do you kind of figure out, like me and my buddies were talking about Elijah Mitchell. Do you think Elijah Mitchell's like, when you're at a restaurant and say you get a food that you really want and it turns out bad, but you don't want to say anything? Do you think it's kind of like that part where they went out and they got Elijah Mitchell thinking he was going to be something great, and then it's turned out to be bad, but they don't want to leave him and show off like, oh, we made a mistake here, we just want to keep him on the back burner kind of sense?
I don't think that you're wrong by saying that at all. Yeah, like you know you made a mistake, or like you've been in relationships, right?
Yeah.
You stay with somebody maybe a little bit too long, you know it's not right, you got to get out, and it's hard to move on, and then you end up married for 20... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not speaking that loud. But no, I'm kidding. But like these relationships, sometimes you get in, right? And you can't find your way out, and you don't want to admit that it was wrong. Or what? Have you ever taken a job? When I moved to St. Louis, the first day I knew, uh-oh, this is a bad situation, right? But I lied to myself. I'm like, ah, it's going to be fine. We'll figure it out, blah, blah, blah. It sucked. It was awful. And so you have mistakes that you've made in life, and you've tried to talk yourself out of that being a bad decision because you're stuck in this decision right now. I love that analogy, JT. I think that's really good.
Yeah, he's not doing something right. Otherwise, I feel like he'd be playing. But he's, accordingly to Andy Reid, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is their guy. The other big question going into the bye week and coming back from the bye week is the availability of Josh Simmons. And this was Andy Reid on that situation.
I think, Pete, what we'll do is just see where we're at here. And, you know, we know we've got a good player in there now. And we know what Josh's capable of and all that. So we'll just see where we're at when, you know, when they get back.
Because we talked to Mitch Holtis last Friday, and he said he would see this as like a ramp up, right? Maybe he wouldn't start because Andy Reid was talking about the job that Jalen Moore has done as well.
Sam, Jalen's he's done a nice job for us. I think just asking him to jump in after the season's been going for a couple months here is that's a tough ask, especially against the D-lines we're playing. But he's done a respectable job.
So I don't know where I stand if I'm 100% sure that Josh Simmons will start at left tackle against Denver. I've got to think against that defensive line, you need your number one, which yeah. I think also goes back to where we can tie all this in, because that's the first time Andy Reid really spoke to the media in about a week and a half because they were on a bye. Now they come back. They'll be back at practice on Wednesday. But what is Denver? What is Denver? They are a dynamite defense that knows how to pressure the quarterback. If you have a running back back there that cannot pick that up, they will not be on the field. And if Clyde Edwards-Helaire knows how to pick that up, he may not get one carry, he may not get one catch, but by God, if he has two blocks that protect a sack, that develop a play in the offense, he's done his damn
Absolutely
job.
Absolutely has.
And I don't know if they trust Elijah Mitchell to do that. The other thing about that as well is, you know, Josh Simmons has been gone for 5 weeks. He's coming back off the bye. Hasn't played an NFL game in almost a month and a half, almost 2 months.
No, he played in the Jacksonville game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did he play the Detroit game?
No, he did not play Detroit. He's been out week 6, 7, 8, 9 in the bye week.
Wow.
5 weeks now.
Wow. 5 weeks now.
God, wow. So it's like, do you want to throw a rookie out there that we know since day one at camp was ready for the job? But obviously there were some issues that got him away from the team. Is Benito and Allen in that defensive line the first thing that you want to throw him into? I would kind of take the approach of teaching your kid how to ride a bike without training wheels. Put him on. He's going to get his knee scraped. He's going to get his ankle messed up. He's probably going to get that little grease spot on his ankle from the chain around the gears. But, hey, you got to do it because you trust in what he can be. But also, that defensive line can wreck a game, and you've seen them do that. They're not dependent on Bo Nix in the offense. They're letting that defense wreck games and win games. And Jalen Moore, who's been there, who's been decent, who's been good enough. But again, this is the best defensive line you will face, and we'll see what they do with Josh Simmons and Jalen Moore, plus Juwan Taylor as well.
Well, Juwan's back, and that's good. I mean, he was fine. I don't know. I'm not really sure what happened in that Buffalo game, but like we heard the day after, he was fine. So that's good news.
Well, they said he was sick.
Yes, but then the ankle thing, I don't know. There was that's why I'm saying I don't know what happened in Buffalo with Juwan Taylor, but he's fine.
Or Joey Bosa was just the damn man that night.
Exactly, and Juwan Taylor's like tapping out. One of those type of things, which is very possible. We've seen that before, but I think maybe you decide to go with 6 offensive linemen against the Denver Broncos. If you got everybody healthy and ready to go, you can report that guy eligible every single time and use that 6th offensive lineman, you know, on your line of scrimmage. I wouldn't hesitate to do something like that. I'm not saying every single play, but a lot of times, why not go out there and give yourself that? Take one player out of, you know, the receiving and keep somebody else in to protect yourself from that, you know, that defensive line. But you make really good points with who we're playing this week too, Dusty, with why Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to see the time, because he does know how to block, and this defense gets out after it. And you're not going to put Elijah Mitchell out there if you do not feel comfortable that he can go out there and block. And so they're going to have to figure it out. Maybe CEH can pick up some of these carries, you know, that that Pacheco may miss again this week. But if it comes down to Isaiah Pacheco and we can't win a game without Isaiah Pacheco, then we're not a very good football team. So you got to figure this thing out. And I think they will. I love playing Denver off a bye week. I do.
The last and final thing that we'll get to with Andy Reid was obviously the other question that we have going into the Denver game at 3:25 on Sunday coming out the bye is where Chris Jones will be and the work he's put in.
I think, you know, we all need to do better. I would say that Chris is always striving to do better every day. I mean, that's what's made him such a good player. Again, he's the guy that they're going to focus on, and if you're getting a double team, that's who's getting doubled. And so that's he'll get his as we go forward. It's just important that he stays consistent and keeps working hard.
So there's a few things there. Stay consistent, work hard, but you're also going to get double teamed. So it's almost like not a backhanded comment, but it's almost like a thick sandwich of praise and work, right? I don't think he's getting the talk that Andy's given to Dwan Taylor or to guys in the past that have been not doing their job and they need a Andy Reid sit down. I don't think that's the case. I think it's just the trust that the rest of the season will develop and Chris Jones will get back to normalcy, but he's also got to continue to get to that level, which is work at the same level he's worked at when he was age 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and now 30.
You got to work harder the older you get with that kind of stuff.
It's going to continue to happen with the double teams and the trying to take him out of the game, because he's another guy that if he can get back there and cause a disruption, he can wreck a game.
He can absolutely wreck a game, but I'm also tired about the double teams too. Everybody gets double teamed in this league, right? I mean, that seems like, well, he's getting double teamed. Break through the double team. You know, you're one of the highest paid, highest, you know, producing defensive linemen in this era of the NFL. So the double team thing doesn't fly with me. But when Andy said he will get his, that kind of put up a little bit of an alarm for me. I'm like, oh, Andy probably did have a little talk with Chris Jones and probably said, hey, it's time. Okay, we let you coast through the first, what, 9 games of this season. It is nut cutting time right now. It's time to go. And I'm going to trust in you that you're going to get your ass in gear and you're going to start playing some better football. Got it? Okay, yeah. Good. Okay,
right, so,
yeah,
Pee-wee? Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of conversation it is with Chris Jones. Like, we're not going to sit you down. We're not going to have these one-on-ones. You got to play better. You're costing us games. But it's like, hey, Chris, you're a veteran leader on this team. It's time. It's time to turn it on. And maybe that's what Andy had to do, just kind of unleash the hounds, if you will, and tell these guys, all right, it's time to start playing, and we'll see what happens. Like, I'm getting more excited as the week goes on for this Denver game just to see how this team comes out.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
That's right. JT Noah takes over the one word for today and tomorrow until Mac is back. So JT, hit it up with one word.
One word for you guys. I want to take it to the baseball side. Big talk in Arizona about Ketel Marte being open in the market. What's your one word for if the Royals go after him?
Yes. Second baseman with 30 home runs. Absolutely. The Royals just hired a new president. Got a chance to meet him yesterday. Comes from the Arizona Diamondback organization. Start working your wonders. Let's go. Let's make this a possibility. That's a player that ties this whole team together. And yeah, you're going to have to pay. You probably have to trade Noah Cameron. So what? You have to trade Blake Mitchell. So what? Go out there and make your team better at the big league level. Make your team better offensively and defensively. This would be a home run move for the Royals if they go out there and got Marte. That's the way I think, anyway.
Yeah, I don't think he's worth Noah Cameron, but I think he could be worth Chris Bubich.
Fine, whoever. Yeah.
I think Noah Cameron gives you youth and a little bit more control. Bubich, obviously, you have a little bit of control, but Bubich has the history of the arm issue, but he also was an all-star last year, so he still has a high sell value. Marte is 31, I believe, but also could play outfield. He could be an outfield piece as well. He could play
very
left field.
He could play third.
He could play second base, center field, left field. Guy's pretty solid. I don't know what Kauffman Stadium would do to him. I mean, it can change or it can make or break people at Kauffman Stadium. But my one word would be appetizing. That's a name. That's got some pop. That's a player that fits in the system. But again, I would send like Bubich to them, because then, you know, you can be like, hey, the guy's good. We set him down last year with shoulder fatigue. He had Tommy John surgery the year before that. You're hoping that it's the best is yet to come. And he was an all-star going into that season, was probably one of your best pitchers, if not your best pitcher, all the way up until about mid-July. And then obviously Noah Cameron kind of took over with that lead. But yeah, I think you could deal a guy like Bubich for Marte and maybe make a splash in your outfield. And that's not like a name like Mike Yastrzemski. And I'm not trying to throw shade at Yastrzemski, but that doesn't move the needle for your Kansas City Royals season next year.
This does. This is a needle mover. These are the type of moves that this organization needs to do if they want to generate that excitement, get people back to the ballpark, more people streaming the games. You make moves like this, get people excited now, that has the carryover effect.
All right, I want to move into the primetime games of this week. Not just last night, but the Sunday night and Thursday night. One word to describe how you felt about all three of those games.
Sad. Very sad about those games, because they were not entertaining. I was very sad last Friday morning. I really wanted that Denver Raider game to be something special. I wanted the Sunday night game to be something special. And I wanted last night to be a fun football game. And it was the first shutout in the first half of a Monday night football game since 2009. Browns versus Ravens. Not entertaining at all. Sad primetime games this week.
It was so sad. You had Joe and Troy saying, this is an exciting 0-0 game. And I'm like, please stop.
Yeah, my one word would be fatigue. I think now we have enough evidence on the table that Philadelphia is just not a fun team to watch.
No.
Every game they have played, I think, is pretty much boring, at least in my opinion. And what did we say earlier this morning? 10-7 Thursday Night Football, 10-7 Monday Night Football, 24-10 Sunday Night Football this past week. By the way, there's another banger on the other side. It's Jets-Patriots this Thursday night.
Oh, boy, Jets-Patriots. Jets have won, what, two in a row? Right? I believe they have. And you've got the New England Patriots that are the toast of the town. Let's see if this is a letdown game for New England. Interested to see how they're going to perform in this one.
Not only that, but you can go look at it. New England's uniforms are pretty nasty.
Like good nasty, mm-hmm. Or are they wearing like the old Pat the Patriot red ones?
No, they're playing like their infused jerseys. Like, you know, Buffalo wore the frosted whites. Yeah. They're wearing like a metallic gray with like a hint of dark blue into them. Check them out.
Okay.
They're pretty sick.
All right. I'll have to look at them.
Nasty. As a YouTube TV member, they can keep all the primetime games on ESPN because we don't need to see them if they're going to play like
no
that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
What's one word for Broncos week?
Fun. Ooh. Fun. Yeah. But also important, and that's the word that I'm going to use. This is an important week for the Chiefs. This is the most important week they've faced in the regular season in a very long time. I can't think of having the importance of a regular season game in the Patrick Mahomes era like I feel like we have for this one on Sunday. Important.
No doubt. I will say traditional, right? I know Denver hasn't been great for the last 10 years since Peyton Manning's been gone. But it's always, to me, it's important, it's pivotal, it's rivalry, mm-hmm. It's fun, it's interesting, it's crucial. All the above of one words you can use to describe this game, because I hate this team. I hate Denver with everything that I have in my body. And I just want to see the Chiefs go into Denver, who's an 8-2 team that a lot of people have questions about, and put them on blast.
Yeah.
Put them in the picture. That is a false prophet. That is pyrite of a team. Fool's gold is the Denver Broncos.
And my last one for you guys, one word on the Giants firing Dable but keeping the GM shown in the desk.
Yeah, it's confusing. I think right now, you know, people are talking about the injuries that have piled up. The problem is they don't have anybody in that second tier of players. Their level one players are good. Their level two players stink. That's on Joe Shane, the general manager, to fix that. And you're the general manager for the last 4 years. Look at this team here in Kansas City. We just go next man up, and the next man goes out there and plays. That's unbelievable, right? You look at the Giants, one guy goes down, the season's over. That's on the general manager not having really good level two players on your football team.
No doubt. Interesting would be my one word, because I feel like he is probably going to be seeing the door on the way out after this season. I don't know. Clearly, he didn't want Jackson Dart because there's video evidence saying, if this is your guy, then he's your guy. Go do it. Go get him. We'll see what happens. But it didn't work with Daboll. His next hire, are they going to let him hire the guy? Are they going to bring somebody new to hire the guy?
They say they're going to, but I would not let the GM hire the guy. It has to be an ownership decision. And you're the owners of this team who have been incompetent and haven't been able to hire a coach. So, you know, the more minds, the better. But, I mean, if you're going to hire a coach and he doesn't want this guy as GM and it's Mike Tomlin, you got to fire the GM, just like the Chiefs did with Scott Pioli.
No doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, that is one word with JT Noah there. Coming up on the other side, Bob and I, are we in the wrong, or is college basketball? We'll discuss on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On a Tuesday here on 96.5 The Fan. Damn. Glad to have you. So, big one this Sunday, 3:25, Denver, Kansas City. It is Bronco week. I was doing some homework last night and found this on Twitter.
Excellent job, both of the Kansas City offense, Andre Rison and Rich Gannon.
Pete Stojanovic into a slight wind. It'll be 54 yards approximately, maybe 55 as Aguiar lines it up. So a Herculean effort here by Stojanovic to win. 55, now they say 54 yards on the spot. It's up, it's tied up, it is good! Oh my! Kansas City wins!
Makes you miss the Hay song.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
that was a fun that era.
1997, Denver Broncos would come into the game, and John Elway would lose. At the time, in my young ass life, in 1997, 10 years old at the time, that was the greatest Chiefs win I'd ever seen. I remember hearing Mitch Holt say, "Pete Stojanovic for president."
Yeah, that's right.
I think that
was
the cover of the Kansas City Star Sports page edition, was Stojanovic for president. As he hit the 54-yard field goal, think of the names, Andre Rison, Rich Gannon, Louis Aguiar, Pete Stojanovic. That's 1997 Chiefs. Hard to believe that was almost 30 years ago.
It's insane. I was just thinking, like for that game where I was drunk at the Teak House, I'm sure passed out somewhere on a Sunday afternoon watching football and, you know, getting pizza shuttle, man, and doing all of that. But also, too, what's interesting, 55-yard field goal back then, that was an eternity to kick a football. Right now, we're lining up guys with 60 yards, no problem. Nobody cares anymore. The kicking game has changed dramatically since, you know, back then. Because 55 yards and Pete Stojanovic, man, that was a... And that was a hell of a field goal back then.
It barely
Yeah.
God, I remember that game because Elway marched down and scored with a minute left. And my dad, I remember looking at me at 10 years old going, "See, this is why I hate this man. This is why I hate Denver." And ever since he said that, I was like, yep, Denver's a team. And then we watched that game, and Gannon goes down, throws a pass to Marcus Allen up the middle. He gets like 15 or 20 yards, throws an out route to Andre Rison, gets a couple yards, gets outside, and then all of a sudden Stojanovic hits the field goal.
I mean, you say these names. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just thinking, like, God, we blew so many years of, you know, like star players on that team because Marty, you know, choked in the postseason.
Because if you remember how that season ends, I'm sure Danon Hughes does, that season ended with Denver coming into Arrowhead and winning that game. Chiefs would be 13-3 that year. Denver would come in as a wild card, beat the Chiefs, and go on to win the Super Bowl on back-to-back
legs. It was like a 10-7 final or something.
Very, very,
right?
Very classic NFL in the 90s.
Yeah, it was. Very classic Marty Schottenheimer, though, man. Like, he didn't do those guys right coaching in the postseason, man.
I want to ask you a question because, JT, I know your college basketball season does not start until December 7th. And you know why.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We know why. That's when Missouri and KU will play at T-Mobile Center.
Oh, okay. Is that December 7th?
On ESPN2. Are we bad sports radio hosts for not even thinking or knowing or talking about the fact that KU and North Carolina played?
No, it's stupid. Played it on a Friday night.
I'll tell you this. I personally cared and watched it. I know for you guys, Bob's not a big basketball guy. I know Bob well. I can't figure you out. I don't think you're a basketball guy that much. So it doesn't tend to fade me that you
I enjoy it, but I have a problem with the way basketball in college, at least, plans himself out. Now, tonight, I could get really nerdy, and we could talk about KU playing Texas A&M and Corpus Christi tonight.
That's a big one. Anytime Texas A&M CC comes to town, baby, throw out the record books.
So here's my argument with you guys about, why did you play that on so early, is other people are arguing, why do you have so many buy-in games that are wasted of games that we want to watch?
But those are the games you should play at this point in time.
Exactly. My argument was, Missouri has played three buy-in games, but one of those games, they actually didn't even buy in. They went all the way to Washington, D.C. to play a HBCU team because Dennis Gates wanted to show some love, and they went out there to play them on the very first game of the year.
Cool. I love that.
Yeah, and then they went and played I forgot who they played their second game, but it was a nail-biter. They were trailing for all up to the last 5 minutes, and they pulled away.
Look, I'm a hypocrite in all of this, and I'm just going to admit it right now with some of this. I like the big games. Like, I love the fact that Kansas plays North Carolina. First time they've ever went to the Dean Dome. Why are you hiding that on a Friday night in football season, though? Like, you know when you should have done that game? Tonight. Tuesday night. There's
they could
no
have done
football
that on a Tuesday last week. Yeah,
yeah, or any Tuesday or Wednesday, right? When there's no NFL going on, as Dusty says, you know, Tuesday for him is, you know, it's documentary night, right? And catching up on shows, doing all that kind of stuff. Look, we all need that, right? But if you're a sport that's trying to grab eyeballs and you have a marquee game, well, you don't put it on Friday night when everybody's doing whatever. I mean, we were at the high school game. You were out doing your thing. Like, it's a terrible night to put things on TV. It's really why the NFL hardly ever played on Friday night, other than this opening, you know, game, which is dumb. But it's why the NFL doesn't play on Friday. It's a terrible TV night. It's why all your good shows, must-see TVs, were always Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Nobody's watching TV on Friday.
That's like... Oh,
yeah, go. No, you went.
That's like my biggest gripe with the college basketball was their big opening night was Monday night. And the only reason some of us watched it, including myself, was because I had YouTube TV and I couldn't watch the Monday night game. But like, why would you have your opening night, big games, your national champion on a Monday night? Mm-hmm. Have it on the Tuesday where there's no NFL. The only thing you're going up against is Mac Nation.
Yeah, and nobody cares about that other than Binkley.
And where I disagree of like where this game was played is the fact that they played this game on November 7th on a Friday night, which I don't agree with that game because tonight they're going to play Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Then they're going to play Saturday against Princeton. Then Tuesday is a big game. I think that's like the coaches' classic. That's where it's
like
Michigan
Duke
State.
Michigan. Yeah. So who do they have?
And they
in
play
that
Duke
one?
At 8 o'clock on Tuesday night on the 18th.
Okay.
But where I think you could play that North Carolina game because there is a good stretch of KU games that are, you know, appeasing to the eye. Duke on the 18th of November, UConn on December 2nd. Then they play Missouri on December 7th.
No, like, KU always schedules good.
And I mean, that's good. But I mean, like where you could play that Carolina game is when basketball starts to pick up in the college ranks, where I know a lot of people think college basketball is dead. It's not very much alive. But, like, instead of playing NC State, Towson, and Davidson on December 13th, 16th, and 22nd before you go to, you know, winter break and all that and come back and play conference, because then you get back in January 3rd and you start playing conference play, play that North Carolina game on December 22nd. Like, play that before you amp up the season. Like, here's the last non-con. It's North Carolina. It's KU. It's December 22nd. Football's kind of figured itself out at that point if you're, you know, right
and
before
it's
Christmas.
And it's the holiday break, and everybody's in holiday mode. More people will watch that game.
Well, I think
you're speaking from a fan, and I love it.
And here's the one argument I would have with that, having it on December 22nd. Then you're not going to have many students there because most students are going to be on the holiday break
but again,
and going home.
Where I would disagree with you is that it's North Carolina and Kansas.
They'll be there.
Right.
If they're
right.
going to one of those two schools, those kids go to games.
Yeah, yeah. They'll be there. They will find that
like
way.
Like the students you know? Will be there tonight for A&M Corpus Christi.
Well, yeah.
Like and they'll like, just be there.
Well, they'll
be there.
But that's the dirty little secret of KU. The student population going to games anymore is not what it used to be. It just isn't. They're not selling out the student section like they used to, you know, over there. And that's for any school, really. I mean, the kids growing up watching full games doesn't happen. Like when we grew up, we watched full games and then went to games because that's what you did. Now kids are getting highlights in 5 second spurts and they're not sitting for full games and they don't feel the need to go watch full games when they can just get the highlights on their phone. And so the population of going to games has disseminated a bit over there in Lawrence from the student population. But if you put that game on December 22nd, the students will go to that game because I got to be honest with you, as we're starting to get this college thing going, like 90% of KU grew up in Johnson County. It's not hard to get over to Lawrence to go watch a basketball game when school's out.
Tonight's got a nice lineup of basketball games. You got Kentucky and Louisville playing each other.
That's a good
Tuesday
one.
Night.
Yeah,
you both ranked. You also have Creighton and Gonzaga, both really good teams. They're playing each other tonight.
Yeah, 9 p.m.
And then props off to Duke. They're playing at Army tonight. So props off to Duke going to Army, playing one of the military.
Good game on Veterans
on
Day.
Veterans
too.
Day,
that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that, yeah.
And then Florida State are playing each other, which I think Florida's going to mollywopple, but still, it's a good rivalry.
And then you have Texas Tech and Illinois. That's two ranked teams, but that doesn't mean anything right now. But I'm just saying, like, in general, my argument for the whole thing is don't play Davidson on December 22nd. Play Davidson on November 7th on a Friday night.
So you want to play more of the buy-in games early on and then play the bigger games as the season goes on?
Let me ask you this obvious question. Mm-hmm. Would more people go to a game in North Carolina on December 22nd, the Monday before Christmas, to see KU, or would more people go to North Carolina on Monday night to see North Carolina play Davidson the Monday before Christmas?
Yeah, it's obvious.
Well,
what
it's going to be the Kansas game.
Exactly.
Right.
So the teams it doesn't matter when you play, they will show. But if you had to tell me the Monday before Christmas break or before Christmas holiday that KU is going to play Davidson, you can have those tickets. Enjoy that experience at Lawrence. But if it's December 22nd, the Monday before Christmas, where a lot of people are going to take that Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday off, and you're like, hey, man, let's go watch North Carolina, Kansas. I'll go watch that game. I think that would have a bigger draw at a different time.
Because, and a bigger TV draw, too.
Because what, by Christmas, you're in week 16? In
yeah,
the NFL?
Of the NFL, yeah. But I mean, and then college football is basically done at that part. You're starting, obviously, the college football playoff, but that's not a big deal to have, you know, basketball games intertwined with there. I just thought you just, KU and North Carolina playing for the first time, like, ever, you know, and you bury it on a Friday night when everybody's got other things going on. It was just a misplaced game by the TV networks, because that's who ultimately decides all these and puts these things together and writes the check for all of this. Mm-hmm. ESPN had to clear this thing, and they cleared it on a Friday night, and to me it just missed the mark on that. It really did.
Game also felt like a Saturday game, when after college football's already over, yeah, you can have it as where college game day goes to them and they have that arena packed.
Yeah, right. So, a game of that marquee being played on November 7th on a Friday night, it missed the mark. Totally missed the mark. They effed that up.
It wasn't a neutral court. So like the home field, or the home court, I should say, would have mattered. It wasn't like, oh, they're playing at a neutral site, it doesn't matter when they play it. No, you were playing in Chapel Hill. Like,
yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And I just think they totally screwed the pooch on this one. And when you look back and you see, you know, sports, you have to appeal to the average fan, the P1 fan, the big time college basketball fan is dialed in. How do they get Bob and Dusty to this party? Playing it on a Friday night ain't a good start.
No doubt. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to Bob's Bonehead Raw. I mean, Bob's Bonehead of the Week. Sorry. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.